This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein. Okay,
I've been up for some days. I ain't got to. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, you lose George Springer, right? Jose Altuve coming off a career worst season. The Astros as a whole, after challenging major league records for team offense several years running, and were average with the bats in 2020.
Yeah.
After a dreadful spring dealing with the fallout from its sign stealing, Houston never seemed on track, at least not until October. But if you've perused Fangraphs, depth charts, projections, and sorted the offensive war column lately, turns out some things stay the same. The Astros projected as having Major League Baseball's top attack in 2021 ahead of the Yankees, Dodgers, and Blue Jays. And one of the biggest reasons? Yordan. You're adding a huge bat, what could be one of the biggest bats in the league, without spending a free agent dime. He is the other guys. I mean, you look at DH for the other teams. Oh gosh, what happened there? That's terrible. You look at DH for the other teams, like the Dodgers minus 0.3, the Yankees 2.9, Twins 2. Yordan 3.9, which is by far the best DH in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Astros are hurting in some other spots. But at third base, 5.9, shortstop, 4.9, 3.7 at second. Man, that Altuve has fallen and is thought to be there. Will Altuve bounce back this year?
I think from a hitting standpoint, he will. There were times that he just looked so. But remember, he got it back in the postseason.
He did.
But then his throw. This is, once you get that, man.
I don't think the throwing thing. I think the throwing thing is going to be fine.
List of players. Can you tell me the last guy who had the yips that got over it? You don't usually get over it. That was terrifying. They showed a list of guys, famous. Now, of course, those are the famous people. Maybe they don't talk about the ones who.
Yeah.
But it is really troubling how many people, once they get it, it's in their head and it plants in there. One of the things they talk about is you have to work quickly. You have to work fast.
Don't
like
think.
Jose cannot hold on to the ball. And that is true. But remember, this is the guy who has to turn double plays.
Yeah. Well, you don't think on a double play, though.
No.
You just turn and fire.
But when he got the ball in that short, in that short, shallow right field on the super shifts, and he had time to hang on to it, is like, or even at the top of the dirt, I was like, oh my God, he just doesn't want to let it go. You could see it was a problem. When he works fast, it's not as big a problem.
So Yordan. They talk about big-time power, big-time projections, starting with this. Nothing fluky about his rookie year. Hammered pitches. While there was some swing and miss in his game, he showed impressive discipline. There's only one of these that he is poor in, and that's strikeout percentage. He struck out 25% of the time. But look at all these percentile rankings in 2019. Exit velocity, 94%. Hard hit percentage, 94%. Slugging percentage, 98%. Extra base, 90%. Barrel percentage, 98%. Walk percentage, 94%. Whiff percentage was 47, which was average. And sprint speed, 49, which is average. Otherwise, he is excellent in all of these other categories. Yordan is something I think we forget about. That we've got a beast that we haven't seen in over a year.
It's true. And his numbers, remember last year he hit the home run.
Yeah, he came back two games.
Comes right out and mashes. I saw a picture on, have you seen how skinny his legs are? Whoa. Yordan's? You wouldn't have ever seen it because he's always got baseball. Yordan's got some kind of skinny ass legs, like below the knees. He didn't have much in terms of his calves and stuff like that.
Well, I'm looking at him run at spring training right now. He's running around the bases, which is
not fast.
A great thing.
But no, he's just running.
He's running. Yeah. I don't know that I noticed that he's that skinny. You're right. Look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have any definition calves.
Now, to be fair, I guess now that I think about it, if he's had, it's going to atrophy.
Double surgery.
Yeah, if he had double surgery. Now, he was already walking on treadmill in October of 2020. So, you know, but maybe it's atrophied. Maybe his calves have atrophied.
Yeah.
That could have happened, too.
I hope his home run power isn't in his calves.
No, but you do drive from lower body.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's a lot of hip turn. And
yeah. But you got the whole lower body that you need to.
Yeah. Well, I just think that we.
He has skinny-ass calves, doesn't he?
Listen,
we got
Victor Oladipo. We got the Deshaun Watson drama.
What does that mean? We have Victor Oladipo.
It's a lot of negative stuff we got going on.
Well, I mean, it's just like.
Here, we got one.
He
hasn't been good.
He's just. We're just in a basketball purgatory.
We got one positive thing. You're done.
No, I do like that coming back. Even with
his Breggers is 27 pounds heavier.
I'm expecting more home runs. Know what I'm saying? Yeah. 27 pounds heavier usually means more home runs. Know what I'm saying?
One homer, two homer.
Y'all see it? One home run, two
red
home run.
Homer, blue.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
No, I just don't please.
You think Alex Bregman's been eating a lot of protein? You know what I'm saying? Protein, huh? All right, it's funny. Don't worry.
Don't talk
I like
about
it.
Bregman.
All right, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. You know what I'm saying? I mean.
Bregman's going to come. Altuve's going to be better. Carlos Correa is happy with his 11.7, I hope. And I think they're working on a deal for him.
Look, if Yordan comes back the way he's supposed to come back, or if Yordan comes back like a regular person were to come back, and that young pitching was not
a fluke.
That was not a fluke, then the Astros are going to be competitive.
If Fromber can still be. If Fromber's your ace.
Yeah,
and he pitches like an ace.
Javier are what we saw last year, because Urquidy had pitched before. We knew Urquidy, you know, he had already come
and
up.
Don't forget he was
stepped
sick.
Up once. Yeah, he had stepped up once big in the postseason. We're like, but the Fromber thing was out of nowhere because Fromber kind of stunk before then. We didn't know anything with Javier. He's a rookie coming up. We knew he was considered one of their better young rookies. Dude, Christian Javier was fantastic.
What's the rotation order right now?
I think it's going to be Fromber, Urquidy. Fromber, Urquidy. I would make it Fromber, Urquidy.
Greinke?
Zach, and then probably McCullers.
And then Javier fifth?
And then Javier fifth, yeah.
Oh, I think he's going to be higher than that.
Right, left. So you might, out of respect to McCullers, you would have McCullers fifth. Who are you gonna have fifth? Greinke?
No, you can't put Greinke.
Well, he's your four inning guy.
Yeah. Well, only because that's so pissed.
Who do you put? Like, seriously, who do you put fifth?
Yeah, that's gonna be hard.
Seniority would dictate Christian Javier goes.
Seniority would dictate Greinke's your opening day starter.
Yeah, but I don't know if you do. I don't know. That could be the case. Who do you think is the opening day starter?
I think Fromber.
You think so? Over Greinke?
Yep. Yep.
He
ended your game one starter.
That's what I was debating. Like, Greinke right now is doing it on gall. I mean, he's not even going to hit 90 on his fastball. Is probably not even going to touch 90 this year. And we're talking about a guy who has just got to do it on complete gall. He doesn't typically work big innings. I would say I would make it Fromber, and I'd like to go left, right. I don't care about left, right, left. Okay, so you might go Fromber, Urquidy, Greinke, Javier, McCullers. So you break up you get a right, left, right in the middle of it.
Three, I don't four, think you five. Can disrespect Greinke, although Greinke should be your fifth starter. Yeah, I think you got to put him at least three.
Yeah. He should be four, probably ahead of McCullers. McCullers' stuff is clearly more electric, but
I think Javier. You can count. I think you're going to be able to count on Javier more.
But we just don't know.
No.
We just don't know. Like, there's going to be a book on them, too, so we'll see how they do now the teams have had more time to go to school on the Astros' young pitchers.
Well, whatever Fromber did last offseason, Javier needs to do, or Keating needs to do. What did he do? Didn't he go to a psychologist? That was it. He needs to give up that number to all those guys, because whatever he did,
I hope they don't need
him. I don't know that there was a more improved player in baseball last year.
No, probably not in baseball. And if you look at and it's very simple. You look at his strikeouts to walks, he threw strikes.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
That's it.
He threw strikes. Mm-hmm. He stopped walking people. He threw strikes. And clearly it was a mental thing, because he went to get it taken care of. I hope that we don't have other pitchers who have that issue. Now, Lance McCullers, sometimes he's kind of famous for being dominant, and then when he has a rough inning, it kind of goes sideways on him. Fromber, yeah. Let me know if your guy is fluent in both Spanish and English, because I'd like to talk to your guy.
Underrated MS says it's Greinke, your ace, then McCullers, Fromber, Urquidy, and Javier. No, there's no way. Remember, Greinke said he wants the respect that they haven't used him correctly. That's okay. They can.
Well, you can.
He can still be the third starter.
Why would you put McCullers too?
Why would I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. Underrated.
McCullers
mess.
Has never.
You're an underrated mess.
They didn't line it up that way in the postseason.
What about Francisco Marte? Prime for a pitching comeback? Nah. He gets suspended every year for steroids. You can't count on a guy. You can't count on that dude.
Here's a question: did Forrest Whitley die? The fact he's still not even in the conversation about a projected rotation, my God. Do you want to put him in? He couldn't get in a COVID year.
No.
They're in the middle of a COVID year, and he couldn't even get there.
When you were down how many pitchers?
You had a losing record last year. We forget that sometimes. They had a losing record. They lost pitchers, a COVID year, and Forrest Whitley still can't get a taste.
Nope. That's a jab, I think.
I can tell you this, SiteJab is here to take care of your business. Yesterday I mentioned a lot about how you don't want a website that doesn't represent your work. If your work is cutting edge, if your work is top of its class, then why would you want a website that's old, that's outdated, that doesn't have the best technology, that isn't correctly designed to take advantage of the algorithms that are out there about how people consume websites and how long they stay on websites and what keeps them on websites longer to get the information they need. That's a big part of what you need to do, and that's what SiteJab does for you. SiteJab.com. Now, keep this in mind. They also do professional videos that they can embed in your site. They do branding and logos, and they can do a lot of graphic art stuff for you. I mean, they do everything. Social media management. There's so much that they can do to really take your brand and elevate it, and that's going to mean more money for you. For small and medium-sized businesses, that's everything. Being able to convert those eyes into business leads, that's absolutely everything. Go to the website, sitejab.com, and check out their work, sitejab.com. 3 to 6 weeks is all it takes for them to tighten up your website, give you a brand-new website from scratch. I mean, it's amazing what they're able to do. sitejab.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Working on a weekend. Like
you're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 918 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here to hang out with us. We started the show this morning with some more Jack Easterby news. You've heard more firings over there.
Yeah, I guess they got rid of one of their security guys who's been there over 10 years. So, you know, he had to go, of course. And we'll see who else. It's really just about, I guess, surrounding guys who, you know, get your own crew in and circle the wagons, and that's it. That's the New England way. So we're seeing the New England way. I didn't think operationally it'd be any different. It is a little bit off-putting to see people who have worked there for years and years get got just because they just happen to not be hired by certain people?
Is it and isn't that the case with a lot of takeovers?
Yeah, it is. It is to the victor go the spoils. And yeah, so I don't want to overdo it. There is a chance that they could really focus on. Many of the firings have been minority based, and people could try to run with that and create a. Yeah, it's not a hard narrative to create against the Texans. Fact is, they could end up replacing with a lot of minorities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That could also be the case. So that could blow up on your face if you try to run with it too quickly. For me, it's just about there's some of the positions that I just really the security guy. Okay, maybe. Equipment guys. And everyone who works in there, all the young guys who are in there,
well,
equipment guys have to be.
Honestly, let's face it, though. I mean, a lot of management takeovers, okay, we've seen it. Even in business, this happens. Somebody buys Xerox or whatever, or they change CEOs or what, and he changes the management team. And the management team, and they come in here from other places, from Johnson & Johnson or wherever they come.
Yeah,
they want their people, or they want, and they make changes because. Well, let's face it, you weren't doing well with the people that you had here before. This is a losing situation, so that's why we're changing management teams, and that's why we need to make an entire change in an organization. But I don't remember, you don't see as negative a reaction to the management team as you've seen with the Houston Texans. I honestly don't know if I can name with the Sports Illustrated articles, with Pro Football Talk going after Easterby as much as he does, with the entire fan base being anti.
I can't do anything else. I put everything out there that I know. All of it should be damning enough. There's nothing else that can be done.
No, but
Mike Florio is going overtime.
I don't know that I've seen as negative a reaction to anyone being hired in any position ever.
As Jack Easterby. Right.
I mean, honestly, with an entire fan base is, most everybody knows who Jack Easterby is now. When was the last time you knew who the team chaplain was? But in every single thing about him is a negative, every single thing. So what he has to do is get everybody out of that building, including the equipment guys and the practice field guys and everybody in that building, and get people that are behind him. That are indebted to him. Otherwise, there will be whisperings behind the scenes always that this guy is, and now there's still maybe. I mean, people hire people, and then after they get there, they're like, wow, this guy sucks at what he does. This boss is terrible, you know? So there still is a real possibility that that's going to happen, but at least you are somewhat indebted to him because he hired you. I wonder, I don't know, they've been here since the get-go, but the broadcast team, I mean, they're not Easterby guys. They're not Easterby guys in that they weren't hired.
You would think, okay, Mark Vandermeer, Andre Ware, John Harris, they've been good soldiers. Well, now OB would have some, he would get pissed off at Andre Ware for having an opinion.
Yeah. Do you know, Jack Easterby wants everything to be positive and wonderful. And
yeah, I would say I'm concerned about those guys.
Yeah.
Because everything,
everybody else is getting it.
They didn't come from New England.
No. Nope.
Do they have the message that you would want? Yeah. I would be concerned if I were those guys.
Yes.
I don't mean to, and I like all three of them.
All of them.
John Harris and I have been friends for a long time. I've been friends with Mark
Vandermeer
for a long time.
Mark
had a lot of respect for Andre, and I consider Andre a friend.
Yep.
I think those guys all could have some problems.
Yep, because they're not their guys.
And they've all done the heavy lifting they've needed to. Now, Dre, like I said, in game, he's making comments about decisions like you should.
Yeah.
And I heard OB used to lose it. Now, how he knew that, I don't know.
No, who was reporting to him during games? That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But somebody, I mean, that's how thin-skinned that dude was. But yeah, I mean, everybody in that building, including Jamie Roots, who's the president since the inception of the organization, because of the power that this dude has over Cal, I could certainly see him talking him out of.
This guy Doug West? I'm glad that I was just told this. This guy Doug West, right, director of practice facility development and special projects. So he wasn't a the field guy. It wasn't a guy.
He was
the vice president of football operations from 2007 when Gary came in until when Jack Easterby grabbed his job.
Right. Until he wrested his job from him and then fired him.
Oversaw football operations for the team to win 6 AFC South. Yeah. That's kind of, do you remember him? I've seen him. You'd know. You've seen it before. Yeah.
Yep.
He's on, he's seeking new opportunities on LinkedIn already.
Wow. Yeah.
What, I mean, hey, it happens.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you said, you know, it happens.
It happens anytime there's a new regime in place. No, Charles Altuve, they don't do it like this. Astros rotation. Mexican, first starter Mexican, then American, then Dominican, then American, then Dominican. No, that's not how you set up a rotation. You set it up with good, really, really good pitcher to not so good pitcher, which is why I think Javier is going to be higher than the fifth starter. Although he's youngest, so he probably should be higher. But Javier might be. You may be right about Javier being a fifth starter. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 to hang out with us here. And you tweeted it out. I said that that Cully's just a placeholder, that the coach in waiting is Josh McCown.
So that's a real thing.
That's a real thing.
You've heard that.
That's a real thing.
That's not just a...
No, that's not just an opinion.
Did we get close to having Josh McCown as the actual head coach?
What do you mean, do we...
Did we actually get close to having him as the coach ahead of
Cully? I think he was going to be the head coach, and I think smarter heads prevailed. It wasn't Cal's smarter head. It was somebody else. Or it might have been even Josh McCown that said, no, we can't do this yet.
You don't have to say it wasn't Cal. I know.
Yeah, it wasn't Cal. That just goes without saying.
I know it wasn't Cal made a decision. I know. That's why I found it so funny when we were told by Jack Easterby this summer that, well, I mean, Cal's the one who, you know, looked into Brian Gain. He did a deep dive on him and just felt like he wasn't doing the job. That a change needed to be made.
The only deep dive Cal does is into a bowl of chili.
Yeah.
Or Lucky Charms.
Yeah, ice cream. So, and all I could think of was, you really expect, and I'm looking around, I remember looking around like, is anyone else going to, like, are y'all not going to make a face or do anything? Am I the only, I felt like I was the one of the only, luckily Jerome Solomon was there, who I knew Jerome was saying. Jerome, Aaron Wilson, you know, I think McClain probably knows too. Guys who have to do the work, they know, they talk to people. And I'm just thinking, are you guys y'all are just going to yuck it up and keep eating these taquitos or whatever that are here and just act like all of this is okay? Like, y'all believe this deep dive thing? Y'all know that these two are just made of, they just had a violent take. They took over the building. This media guy's yucking it up, and now they're like, Jack Easterby is a clown. He's trash. Retweet, please, so I can clay chase my clout now. You guys are sitting there just slurping it up.
How good were the taquitos, though?
Yeah.
All right. I went and got, at one point after Bill O'Brien accused me of like, what are you so mad about? Why are you asking these tough football questions? What are you so mad about? And I realized I was going to go early. I like went over to the food thing again. I'm like, well, I'm gonna get a real plate this time.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat this before I get out of here. And then when I left, somebody told me, he goes, O'Brien, I said, did he say anything after I left? He goes, yeah. He's like, I don't know what his problem was. What's he so mad about? We're just having some beers. He's having a good time. Great time. Great time. Well, you gutted our whole entire organization, our whole franchise. We're just having a good time.
Great time. You did have a few beers with him.
You know who had a lot of good times this year? Texans fans. You know who else had a lot of good times? Deshaun Watson. Good times.
Well, actually, Deshaun did have good times this year.
Did you think so?
Yeah,
did he look like he had a fun
great
time?
I thought he looked great.
Did he have a fun time? It was good times playing for the Texans for Deshaun.
Yeah.
He's literally trying to leave.
Yeah.
He won't even return their texts or calls. Good time? Deshaun had a good time?
Yeah, great time.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a great time.
To be honest, Bill O'Brien is kind of right. You're very negative. Why are you so negative, Lance?
Because everything was bad for them. Everything went downhill.
What are you so mad about?
Stop. I'm not going to let you snare me with your rabbit snare.
Why are you so mad?
Yeah.
What's this problem?
Okay, ESPN, they do a freaking Watson story.
What's this about?
Do you have a problem with how Texans are handling Watson?
How they handle it?
I don't give a rat's ass what you think.
Oh, this is supposed to be, you're supposed
Max
to just
Kellerman,
say.
Max Kellerman, I don't give a rat's ass what you think about how the Texans are doing anything.
How exactly are they handling him?
Yeah.
They're not doing anything to him.
Because they won't trade him.
Immediately, okay. They won't try to work this out. And then, okay, sure, they're handling him poorly, I guess.
Yeah. No, you know what? They're handling their business like it's their business, not yours, Max Kellerman.
Hey,
shut up.
Hey,
what is your stupid face?
What are you so mad about, man?
Why are you so mad? You mad? You mad, bro?
Mad, man.
931 ESPN. Mad.
There was a time you mad, bro, would really send people into full tilt on Twitter.
You mad, bro?
Like when you ask people if they're mad, like, and they would just tilt out completely.
All right, 931 ESPN 97.5.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Do you guys think if Watson had a bad year and played horribly, that he still would have wanted to be traded and the fans and media still have this outrage? No. No, no. If he was crappy, do you think Philadelphia fans?
Okay, so
do you think Philadelphia fans are pissed that Carson Wentz wants out? No.
I want to bring this up because this came up on our text on our Glory Boys. Is it the same? Carson Wentz requesting a trade, which I said at the time, I think is lame. Carson Wentz wanted a trade because if he had to be a backup quarterback. He didn't want to compete.
Yeah.
I mean,
Ryan
to me, that's
Clark
lame as
tweeted
hell.
Out. Ryan Clark tweeted out, oh, I want to see what Dick Vermeil and Brett Favre have to say about Carson Wentz.
Well, then ask Brett on an interview.
No, because they came after Deshaun. Well, they didn't really come after Dick Vermeil really came after him. Uh-huh. But I thought Brett Favre just was like, hey, whatever. I didn't think Brett Favre came after him nearly as hard as Vermeil did. Yeah, it was Vermeil.
Yeah, it was Dick
Vermeil. Anyway, so, keep that same energy with Carson Wentz now because he's white. Well, Carson Wentz wants to get traded because he sucks and he lost his job to a rookie.
Well, no, here's the big difference. Carson Wentz is still being, I don't think there's any difference about it. Carson Wentz is being a baby because he didn't want to compete for a competition. Well, he didn't want to have competition for his job. Too bad, Carson Wentz, you stunk. Now, the reason people aren't making a big deal now about him potentially being traded is because Eagle fans would love to be out of his contract and be done with him. That's not the case in Houston at all. We've got a really good quarterback. The Eagles have a guy who's not going to – that guy is not going to lead them anyplace. The Texans actually have somebody that it's hard to get, a Deshaun Watson. The Eagles will be able to get some type of value for Carson Wentz. To this day, I'm not sure the Texans. Realistically, the value for Deshaun Watson is four good players. That's the value for a really good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell me draft picks all you want. I need to know those draft picks are going to hit and they're going to become good players. The value of a starting quarterback like Deshaun Watson is four good players coming back. Four good core players coming back. I'm not sure they can get that. I'm not sure that teams are going to want to do it. I'm not sure that Nick Caserio is going to be willing to take draft picks in the 20s somewhere with a good team.
Mm-mm.
This may be a situation. So I think Ryan Clark, you know, unfortunately.
Well, anywhere you get draft picks, though, it's risky business. I mean, they don't all pan out.
I just think we have got so much racial where it is just everything is looked at first and foremost. What you can't make a comment or have an opinion without your race being discussed or at least considered, and the race of the person that you are talking about. You're not, you know, this just in, sports is more diverse. I understand there's more African American players and including quarterbacks now. You have to be able, and it goes both ways. You have to be able to discuss a black guy discussing a white quarterback. You have to be allowed to do that, you know, and not immediately assume you don't like that quarterback because he's white. Now, Dominic Foxworth needs to not say comments like, I hope he fails, or I cheer for a play. You don't want to – I don't know of any other commentator ever that I've ever seen who said he openly cheers for a quarterback to fail. And then he said it was because of the fans. Well, fans are obnoxious everywhere. I totally get that. But you can't do that if you're a former player, because the players at Buffalo are like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're way out of line, Dominic Foxworth, for saying stuff like that. But at the same time, like, you have to let people have opinions about players. And at some point, you got to recognize that this is a generational thing. This is not Brett Favre, like, taking it easy on. Now, people came up with something on Brett Favre where apparently it was reported that Brett Favre, from Peter King. Did you see this over the weekend? That Brett Favre, in an old article, it said Brett Favre requested to be traded. Was this after they drafted Aaron Rodgers, I think?
Probably.
Or maybe it was. I think that's what it was. So Brett, they pointed out hypocrisy with mm-hmm. Brett Favre. Now, ultimately, nothing happened, and he didn't really, like, it didn't go anywhere. He didn't set out any time, stuff like that. But, man, I see it all the time with me. I'm always conscious, guy. If I have, you know, if I don't have a high enough grade on Justin Fields, I know I'm going to get crap. You know, I just,
yep.
I'm not allowed to have an opinion on these guys. But, it was funny because the guys who, the real people who actually know you and who actually do this for, like, football people or, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew and Bucky Brooks. I got to sit in a room with Michael Robinson, Bucky Brooks, man. They were talking about things that happened at school with their kids and stuff. And Maurice, like Michael Robinson, was hesitant to talk just for a second in front of me. And MJD just said, "He's one of us. You can say whatever you got to say." And so he said that. But the point is, MJD was when I was asked about who's your comp for Haskins. I'm like, well, I'm making it Drew Bledsoe, but really, a lot of what he does really comps to Jameis Winston. Wind up release, not the best athlete, a guy who is has a high football IQ, you know, has been taught this, at least on paper, he does. I mean, he's been taught the football stuff for a long time. There's a lot of, now the one thing that didn't make a lot of sense, or the one thing that didn't match up, and physically they're the same, the one thing was turnovers. Those are two things, even in college. So not everything's perfect. And I'm like, but I can't. I'll go with Drew Bledsoe. I'd like to go James and Bucky go. And MJD said, "Why would you? No, if that's your comp, go with."
Mm-mm.
He goes, "I like that one too. James is a better comp than Bledsoe." And Bucky goes, "Whoo, LZ, he doesn't know." I said, "I know, Bucky. He doesn't understand." He's like, "What?" We said, "We take a bunch of crap if we comp a black quarterback to another black quarterback." He's like, "So?" And the producer's like, "So we don't care. Just do whichever comp you want to. We don't care what anyone says." I'm like, "Well, that makes you," because I know my editor at the time sure cared
mm-hmm.
about blowback. But it's just so whack-ass that people get so caught up in, like, the race of a quarterback and the race of a commentator. And, like, yeah, man, it's just so tired for me. I thought this is what we were striving to be able to get to, a point where we could all have discussions, but people are so paranoid about what the other person's thinking is and all their ulterior motives. And it's really for both sides end up doing this stuff that sometimes it's hard to do this job knowing that people are just going to sit in judgment of any opinion you have. And everyone already knows that, you know, you look at, just forget it.
Mm-mm.
Do a pit masters look at you and go, "Look, can't have you commenting on my brisket. I saw what you did."
I
saw your comp.
Well, I think, yeah. What if a pit master gets a comp of Lance?
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's good. not okay. good.
No, your dry ass brisket.
Deliver flavorful briskets.
Like when
excellent ribs.
Like when Guy Fieri is interviewing a great pitmaster and he sits him down. Well, got a comp for you. It came from Barbecue Weekly and they said it's much like that Lance Zierlein brisket of 2019. How do you feel?
Oh,
Guy Fieri.
Wow.
You wouldn't hear the guy because the guy would be talking about.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
Guy Fieri would be saying, oh, man, this is killer, Bart. This is killer Q right here. The tanginess, the sweetness, there's a little pepper on it. Great job, man. Bang. And then he'd fist bang him. That's how Guy Fieri would.
No.
That's how he does it.
The comp for you would be like,
man.
Dry.
I don't know.
Water was poured on it to fake the injury.
That's Sahara Sam. That pit master, Sahara Sam.
I don't know.
Does it have a smoky taste?
Neither one of y'all brought up any barbecue.
Tastes like a lot of burn.
Neither one of y'all brought up any barbecue into this place.
I mean, when we say bark, charcoal. When we said bark, we didn't actually mean a tree.
Yeah, right.
9:43.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, whatever. Keep those egg rolls
Why
flying.
Are you so... Hey, man, why are you so mad?
Why are you so mad?
Hey, yeah, right.
Why are you so mad?
I don't know. What's your problem?
9:43, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Pro Football Focus has a trade. Nick Foles in a first rounder for Carson Wentz. Who got the better of the deal? Nick Foles actually graded out better than Carson Wentz did last year. And they have to give up a first-round pick. Now, obviously, the potential is much better with Carson Wentz, right? Obviously. Mm-hmm. But this has been... if it wasn't for Nick Foles, would they have won a Super Bowl?
No. No, obviously not.
No.
There was no Carson Wentz. He was hurt there.
And if Carson Wentz stayed healthy, I'm not sure that they win the Super Bowl with Carson Wentz.
What does he wasn't
Foles
healthy
out. But no, if he hadn't gotten hurt,
well, that you almost can't say that he was hurt twice in college, hurt in high school. I'm not sure he came back for one of their runs, North Dakota State's national championships. He wasn't even on the field. He was hurt. He had a wrist or a thumb injury. And he's had some problems. Del, can you tell us what this means? Miami UNC game postponed after video surfaces?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means that UNC, after their win over Duke, went out to party, and their video showed them without masks on, so the game got canceled.
Did you see the party?
No, I didn't.
It was huge.
I'm sure it was.
Huge.
Yeah.
It was. I think it was outside, but it looked like it was outside, but there were like 1,000 people there.
Yeah, so Miami.
And again, the players were there.
Miami saw that. I was like, it seems like you're not following protocols. So, and it's not enough time between that party and actually determining whether you really are positive or not. So they're like, nah, we'll just go home.
Yeah. And
they called it the day of the game. Like Jay Billis was on site and stuff. They're like, he said he's had games canceled before, but this is the first time he's actually on site hours before tip off where they had to, pull.
Just because of the picture.
Yeah, the video, it don't look good. Those guys hanging out.
No. Marty Schottenheimer died, 77 years old. The Washington Post put out.
He was in hospice care for a while.
Was he?
Well, he had gone there, I guess, a week ago.
Is this really? The Washington Post, Marty Schottenheimer, NFL coach whose teams wilted in the postseason, dies at 77.
Seems unnecessary.
No, that can't be.
That can't be right. It's got the Washington Post. I don't know. Somebody had to doctor that. There's no way that they wrote that. You just don't do that. Put a little respect on his name. Did you see this story about Marty Schottenheimer? Apparently, Deion, in 2001, Deion Sanders retired rather than play for Marty in Washington. In 2002, Marty coached the Chargers. Washington released Deion's rights so he could join the Raiders for a Super Bowl run. Marty claimed Deion on waivers, blocking the move. That's bitter. That is bitter.
Yeah, just to clean up that previous thing, from what I can tell, anything you type in Washington Post, Marty Schottenheimer, the ones that come up, coach of four NFL teams, a winner of 200 games, dies at 77. One of NFL's winningest coaches dies at 77. Nothing about...
Nothing about okay, Wilson. I was going to say, man, that would be low. That'd be extraordinarily low rent. So,
yeah, no, they wouldn't.
To say something like that. So I would think that that would not be.
And by the way, today's the anniversary of the Roughnecks' first ever win.
Roughnecks!
Why? Don't. That's not.
Don't what?
That's the. It's not the Roughnecks call.
Roughnecks! Did you guys see this? The Super Bowl, and this is a sign of the times. CBS said Tuesday the audience included, they had 96.4 million viewers. CBS said Tuesday the audience included record digital numbers for a game that had lost its competitive edge by halftime. The most watched Super Bowl was 2015, New England, Seattle. People tune in for Tom Brady. They do.
And that game came down to the end. And at the end, you're going to get huge, huge numbers if it's a tight game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
CBS said Sunday's championship was the most live-streamed NFL game, averaging 5.7 million viewers per minute, up 65% from last year's Super Bowl. This just all this. Kansas City led all meter markets with 59.9, an increase of 8% over last year. Even over last year, it went up. The Boston market, buoyed by Tampa Bay and expatriate Tom Brady, was second at 57. Tampa was third at 52.3. Wow. But this just goes to show you, this is the way it's being consumed. I mean, and that's why you see all these companies now are like Paramount Plus, ESPN Plus, AMC Plus. They're all trying to get their little piece. Mm-hmm. And at some point, maybe DirecTV will go, oh, you know what, guys? We're going to drop the price on these things so low, and you can get all of them right here. Because do you really want it? Now it's a la carte. Now I'm like, man, I got all these things, and I'm paying this amount of money. Maybe I just need to, because the streaming stuff is going to be, at some point, you're just going to figure out the pluses you want. But, I mean, I pay for Hulu. I pay for Prime. I pay Amazon Prime, but I pay for Hulu. I pay for Netflix. You start adding it all up, mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I pay for Pandora. I pay for Spotify.
We share a lot of these in my family. My daughters and
share too with other people, and I pay for it. Yeah. It's not really share.
Actually, my oldest has got one of them. I forget.
Shout out my sister-in-law for that ESPN Disney. I mean, for that
Disney. Disney Plus advertised a bunch during the Super Bowl.
It's because that's who you got to get people on board.
Yeah, but I'm worried about Wendy's stock now.
Well, don't worry, John. We're just fine. Do what you're told to do.
But I was like, man, stop spending all that money on these commercials. What you doing? Hey, I hope you get. I hope you're getting a lot of subscribers.
Spend money to make money.
Are you pocket watching, John? You watching Mickey's pockets, John?
Yeah, I'm watching Mickey's pockets.
I'd ask you to
watch
stop.
Watch where you're going with all that money.
Well, you keep talking. You'll watch that paycheck go right out the door. Watch yourself. Everything's fine. Just keep pimping Disney Plus. Everything's fine.
They continue ESPN every single day asking Max Kellerman, do you like the way that the Texans are handling it? Honestly, I'm okay with the way the Texans are handling it.
Are we supposed to just say the Texans just give him whatever he wants? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, I guess. No, is that the belief? He wants to be traded, so trade him.
Immediately to whoever,
the Texans aren't taking calls, are not taking calls on Deshaun Watson trade. I am okay with.
Yeah,
you know what? This is your This is your team.
That's what I'm saying.
You got him for 5 years locked up.
This is not. I know it's supposed to be, but what about Deshaun? Mm. Deshaun worries about Deshaun and. Ultimately, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Twitter's not going to control this. This isn't Twitter leverage. I made this point before. There's real leverage and there's Twitter leverage. Twitter leverage also goes along with ESPN shows and people Twitter. free Deshaun, help Deshaun. This is not right to Deshaun. The team, that's not real leverage, though. That's not putting pressure on any. I swear on everything. This isn't putting any pressure on Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio doesn't care what y'all say at all.
Mm-mm.
He's trying to. This is his first GM, full-time GM job, and he wants to win. And by giving Deshaun away, that's the worst move you can make.
He won't trade Deshaun until Jack Easterby tells him to trade Deshaun.
Yeah. Let Jack figure this out, and then, okay? And then once Jack has it figured out, then we pull the trigger on something.
And I think I figured out.
Let Jack prey on it for a little bit.
And I think I figured out what the value for Deshaun, what the Texans are asking for.
All right, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
What does that mean? Wait, two firsts and a second?
Possibly, or no, one or first and a sec in 2 seconds.
Jack Easterby wants fish.
Well, no, I don't know what fish is. Make fish, dolphins, fish. You know the see
one fish, two fish.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
See,
why are you talking like this?
Fish, dolphins. Why I'm just are you saying? Maybe.
Y'all think Jesus sometimes just crip walked on water? What do y'all think?
No, Jack. We did. We've never thought about it, Jack.
Crip walked. Jesus, crip walked. And he's, I mean, honestly, dude, you're extremely, you're the team chaplain talking about Jesus crip walking.
Y'all see how Jesus crip walked down there? Y'all think he David crip walked down that water? Huh? That's funny, huh? I don't care who you are. That's funny right there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. Is this Larry the cable guy or Jack the salary cap guy that gave Deshaun the no trade? Who is it? Is this Jack who negotiated those bad salaries? And people are tired of hearing about Jack East. I'm tired of it too.
Bye, bitch.
Ooh, I think that was for you. Did you mean?
No, he meant
to not talking about Jack Easterby anymore.
He meant Jack.
No, because Jack isn't going anywhere. The only person who leaves at this time is.
Bye, bitch.
Lance.
I'm leaving Thursday and Friday too. Y'all figure that out.
They
won't play. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? Huh? You know what I'm saying? Huh?
We done, you know, here. We done with Jack in the segment. We done with Lance. Lance, you done?
Bye, bitch.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.